I am recording, and I am both on WebEx and on my local recorder here, and I've also documented everybody in attendance today. So hopefully everybody has the agenda handy or in front of them and the meeting notes. I don't know if those were all distributed or not. Hopefully you guys got those. I will turn it over to our chair, which I believe is Kim. So Kim, you should be able to turn your, can you turn your mute off? Should be
Sorry,
in.
Zoom, I was finding the button.
Yeah, I know all the buttons are a little different from Zoom, so hopefully you guys can do that, see that. You should also be able to click on the side or in that lower right-hand corner and see the participants and also see a chat window down there that you can open as well that will open up on the side. You should also be able to control up sort of in the, I'd say the upper right-hand corner, the view screen of active speaker versus grid view, which sort of the grid view gives you that Brady Bunch view, I think. And we can also share content if necessary. So with that, I will turn it over to Kim for call to order, introductions, and so on down the agenda.
Okay. Well, I think Lance, you just announced the official start of this meeting that's being recorded. So let's call this meeting to order and do a round of introductions. So I'm Kim Bria, Transportation Board Chair. And
Adam Mallory, Board Member.
Great.
Di Loretto, Transportation Board Member.
Anthony Larson, Transportation Board Member.
Mark Vitor with Kittleson & Associates, consultant to the city.
Nick Polinski, Kittleson & Associates, also consultant to the city.
And of course, I'm Lance Calvert. I'm your staff liaison. Did Rich announce himself, or did I miss it? Because I see Rich on here.
Rich, we see you. If you can find the button.
Oh, he might have low bandwidth. It says that he has low bandwidth, so maybe his video is not working. Rich, you could also type into the chat window as well if necessary. Then we also have other city staff on here. I'll let Darren and Chris introduce themselves.
Darren Wise, the acting planning manager.
Did we get everybody?
Yeah.
Chris Myers, planning staff, is also on the call.
Great.
He's the call-in number.
Okay. And I apologize. I've got the agenda here, but I didn't make it a PDF, so I'm like going back between tabs here. So that's our introductions. And Lance, we don't have any members of the public here to... requesting to speak, correct?
Not at this time.
Okay. So that's agenda number one. Item number two is to review and approval of January summary notes. It's been so long since we've seen each other. Has everyone had a chance to review the meeting minutes from our January meeting? That made thumbs since everybody's on mute.
Will they be approved? Is Greg Loretto.
Okay, Greg has moved to approve minutes. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in approval, say aye or thumbs up.
Aye.
Okay. Anyone opposed? Okay, so if you can enter into the record that we have approved the meeting minutes from January. And then we can turn it over to our presentation from Kittleson regarding the draft and the Willamette Falls Drive concept plan and the GO bond project update.
Great. Well, this is Mark Vitorek. Nick and I'll tag team on this, and Nick will run the presentation. But Nick, do you want to share the presentation? All right. We can slide down to the first slide or second slide. So what we want to do this evening is walk you through the concept plan for Willamette Falls Drive. This plan, for those who have been on the advisory board for a number of years, is very similar to the Oregon 43 concept plan that came to the board in, I believe it was 2016, and then adopted into the transportation system plan by the city council. The process here is very similar. Want to get your feedback and thoughts on the plan. You should have had a draft plan distributed to you last week. And Nick and I will just give you a high level review of that and then open it up for questions and discussion. Presentation probably take 10 to 15 minutes at most. So with that, next slide. So just to give you a timeline of the project, we started about a year and a half ago with our partners Murray Smith and ourselves working with city staff. And this just gives a timeline of outreach. So Lance had talked with the Willamette Neighborhood Association, the Sunset Neighborhood Association in April, awarded a contract to Murray Smith and Kittleson in May of last year. We announced a public open house in July with a open house then occurring in August. And then we had a joint work session with City Council in September of last year, and then we prepared and provided a draft plan that you saw, which is the 30% draft plan that you have in front of you. Next slide. So kind of where we are in this process, we're here obviously this evening with the advisory board to present and get feedback. And then moving forward, assuming we have positive feedback and adjustments to the plan, we'd have a work session with the Planning Commission in late part of October, and then a Planning Commission hearing in early November. And assuming we move through there, City Council approval and amendment to the a TS transportation system plan would be in early December. Again, assuming we have positive feedback as we go through. So next slide. So the corridor basically stretches across the entire south portion of the city from the Tualatin River all the way over to the Old City Hall, Arch Bridge, Highway 43. What we'll do is Nick is gonna take over here in just a second and walk you through each segment. There's five segments. There is a center segment, as you all well know, that's under construction in the downtown. That was not part of this project. It was done under a separate contract and underway before this project started. So that's assumed to be in this, and we coordinated with that consultant team and city staff to make sure the concept plans aligned and tied into that segment. So with that, I'll have Nick start on the far westerly end by the park. And we'll work our ways to the east, and then we'll open up for discussion at that point. Nick?
Perfect. Thanks, Mark. So like Mark said, the first segment of this project in the study area starts at the Tualatin River near Fields Bridge Park and extends over to 16th Street, so the western edge of the downtown project. And through this section, it's primarily residential with two key generators for pedestrians and bicyclists. One's in the future with just being on the northern side of Willamette Falls Drive on the opposite side of the park is a future school development that is currently under design, as well as Fields Bridge Park itself. So the thought process for this segment of the roadway was to ensure that both bicyclists and pedestrians had continuous connectivity on both the north and the south side of the roadway. So the proposed cross-section through this segment maintains the existing roadway on its current alignment with on-street parking as needed in certain key areas, one of those areas being directly adjacent to Fields Bridge Park, and then a landscape strip buffer, and then a separated bike path and sidewalk on both sides of the roadway. This is what we call in the concept plan the preferred typical section through the corridor, just because it provides both the north and south continuous bicycle and pedestrian facility along Willamette Falls Drive. So this would stretch from the Tualatin River Bridge to tie into the currently under construction downtown project. And if anyone has any questions as I'm going through this, feel free to stop me and ask me any specific things. We can also hold questions till the end, whichever is totally fine. So then now going east on Willamette Falls Drive, the next segment stretches on the other side of downtown and starts at 10th Street and stretches to 6th Street. And then through this portion of the corridor, we really tried to use the existing infrastructure that is out there today. So the intent of this portion of the project is to shift the north and the south pedestrian and bicycle facilities and move them towards the south side of the road. So what happens through this corridor, through this portion of the corridor is the alignment of Willamette Falls Drive is maintained, and then cyclists would use the existing frontage road with the addition of shared pavement markings, and then pedestrians will use a shared use path that exists on the north side of the road, as well as the sidewalk that parallels the frontage portion of the road. So this is what the current proposed typical section looks like. And how we're trying to use this, like I said, is you'll see in the next segments, but the goal is to move the pedestrians and bicycles to the south side of the road as we get to the more constrained topography in the next segments. So as you go through this segment, the goal will be to get both the bicycles and the pedestrians on the south side of the road. So then segment C is the longest segment in the study area. And this spans from 6th Street all the way to Sunset Avenue. And through this portion of the corridor, we are faced with some really steep topography, both on the north and the south side of the roadway. The north side of the roadway has a really rocky environment that leads all the way up to 205. And then it's pretty similar on the south side of the roadway. So in order to most cost effectively and safely provide the multimodal connection that we are looking for through this corridor, we have proposed to add a shared use path on the south side of the roadway that will be a joint pedestrian and bicyclist facility. So this is the proposed cross-section for segment C. And the landscape strip that's in there is also in the preferred option. And we will, in really, really constrained areas, it is proposed that landscape strip will go away to limit any kind of additional costs associated with the project. And then as we get down to segment D, this is from Sunset Avenue to West A Street. And the dashed red line on the screen represents a new alignment configuration through this area. And the reason for that is that we wanted to better influence the intersection control through this area, because there is an ongoing design project on I-205 to widen that corridor. And as a result of that, there will be some new alignments for overcrossings, as well as a removal of the Broadway Street overcrossing potentially. So to better align the intersection control through this area, the dashed red line represents the new proposed intersection configuration. And then through this section, the pedestrian and bicycle facilities would be they're separated pedestrian and bicycle facilities. Sidewalks would be on both sides of the road. And then the bicycle facility will be a shared separated bike path on the south side of the road, but it will be a two-way facility. So this is the proposed typical section through segment D. So like I said, there's a sidewalk on both sides of the road, and then the shared two-way separated bike path on the south side of the road was put there to maintain the connectivity of cyclists on the one side of the road. And the reason we kept it on that side of the road is to limit the number of conflict points that could result from any kind of additional unwarranted bicycle crossings on Willamette Falls Drive. And then the final segment of the project is segment E. So this stretches from the West A Street new intersection with Sunset, and then will terminate in a new proposed roundabout at the 7th Street OR 43 Sunset Avenue intersection. So through this portion, the alignment has shifted south to go through what will be a future new development at the old mill site. And then it will connect, like I said, into a roundabout at the intersection shown there. And similar to the previous segment, the bicycle facility through this portion is a two-way separated bike path on the south side of the road with sidewalks on both the north and the south side of the roadway. So this is the proposed section through this area, and you'll see that in the section on the screen, there's also on-street parking through this area, and that's just because of the proposed development that's happening in this area. We felt that it was prudent to add additional on-street parking for any of the businesses that might pop up as part of that development. And with that, this is the line work proposed for the future Sunset segment D and E area, and I will turn it back over to Mark.
Thanks, Nick. Just a few things in this area. You've probably been reading in the news as well as the development in this area. As we went through and laid this out, as Nick mentioned, there is some operation and safety issues. If you've ever come down Sunset to tie into Willamette Falls Drive or up Chestnut, those very skewed, steep intersections create some operational issues and also create issues for bicyclists and pedestrians. So that's where you see the realignment of Willamette Falls Drive coming up, teeing into Sunset at that relocated location with the widening of I-205, and then moving down to where you see A Street, then tie into Sunset, and then moving through to the roundabout at 43. We know Belgravia, the developer in that area, which city staff has been working with through that period. They're still in the planning elements, but the way this roadway was laid out was the best given the design constraints, the operational and safety issues, and what we know at this time based on the developable property. Another thing that you've probably recently read in the news, I think it was this weekend, there's a project kicking off, joint project between City of West Lynn, Oregon City Metro, and ODOT in Clackamas County for the Oregon City West Lynn Bike Ped Bridge. So a feasibility study of a likely crossing south of the Arch Bridge for ped and bikes that would link both sides of the river. And that's another reason the bicyclists were in the shared use pass was put on to the south side of Sunset to allow direct access to that potential future facility. So a lot going on there. The approach, and Lance may comment a little bit more on this, is to define this, put it in the transportation system plan. As a developer gets closer to coming back, they can propose options or changes that, you know, either enhance or maintain the same objectives that this is achieving. But it's a little bit of that chicken and egg piece, and that's why we're moving forward to define it and put it into the transportation system plan. So there's some certainty, but if the developer comes back and suggests some options, they always have the opportunity to show and demonstrate that to the city, that it's equal or a superior design at that point in time. So we know that's a moving piece. We also know funding will take time for this project to come into place, but similar to the Oregon 43 concept plan, this concept plan really provides three benefits. One, it provides certainty for property owners on what is going to be out there ultimately, how it's going to be aligned so they can dedicate as necessary right away and tie into it. School district is doing that right now as part of their planning effort down at Fields. So it provides that guidance. Also provides certainty to the city as far as being adopted ultimately into the transportation system plan. Allows the city to seek funding for this because it is defined, it's been planned, it's been designed. So in essence, it's ready to go from that perspective. And then it allows the city to appropriately program funding for different segments of this corridor as we go forward. So a lot of positives from there, but just like every piece, it's one more definition to the transportation system plan of Westland. Next slide. All right, so that is it for our questions. Nick also has the plan, so if you guys have read the plan and have specific questions on specific pages, we can go in. We didn't want to go through all 39 pages of detailed plans tonight, but keep it fairly high level. And with that, I'll turn it over to Lance for any other additional comments and then open it up to the advisory board.
Sure. So just to follow up on the presentation here by Kittleson. The presentation really includes a general overview of the corridor. It's a very, you know, it's a big corridor. It's a long ways. There are some sections of the corridor that are a little easier to manage and transition to match the plan as presented. Some of them you can see, like in the Arch Bridge area, are very far-reaching and are significant changes from the existing condition. A lot of that is driven by ODOT, and a lot of coordination with ODOT went into this process and concepting. ODOT's plans for I-205 incorporate the roundabout elements that you see in that last slide, as well as the realignment of the Sunset Avenue Bridge crossing, as well as the removal of the Broadway Bridge and the reestablishment of the A Street overpass and bridge. And you also note that, you know, there's quite a few operational changes in this area proposed, including the basically the extension of West A over the current Willamette Falls Drive alignment. One of the questions that we get and have gotten quite a bit about is why the change in the alignment down through the old mill site. And that really has to do with the topography and the challenges associated with the topography in this area of trying to match the elevation of the A Street Bridge, the Arch Bridge elevation, and accommodate the traffic volumes that are generated in this area through the use of the multi-lane roundabout that matches the roundabout proposed by ODOT at the on and off ramp. You'll also notice that one of the on ramps to I-205 is deleted in the ODOT I-205 plan, so all of the on-ramp activity will occur basically to the one looped ramp here at that location. A lot of work went into that concepting with HDR and the I-205 project, and because of that, the steep topography and the slope really play into this shift in realignment. I know that the developer has asked, the owner actually of the falls, of the mill property, has asked us to do some additional follow-up in regards to concepts that they've put forward, as well as a better understanding of the slope constraints on why the realignment. And so we'll be working on that moving forward. Unfortunately, the two-dimensional doesn't really show the extreme level of three-dimensional vertical challenge through this corridor and trying to accommodate all things. Our other goal, of course, is the council has been requesting, and I think most of the neighborhood requests in this corridor, is trying to minimize the potential for Willamette Falls Drive to be a bypass route or a looping route around the congestion of I-205. Obviously, if the ODOT project moves forward, they'll be widening I-205. That will help considerably with congestion, but there will always be congestion in and around the interstate corridors. And so our goal in all of this work has been to provide a safe place for all multimodal users, including bikes and pedestrians, accommodating the different development objectives of each segment of the corridor, and working to minimize the potential for this corridor to really act as a sort of an auxiliary route to I-205, and try and bring it back to being more of a local route. So it's a lot of conflicting items there that we're trying to accomplish, but hopefully we're able to do that with each different segment and each different improvement that's shown. Obviously, in this area, this is a much longer, broader, forward-looking concept versus something like the proposed improvements closer to the school development or closer to the downtown Willamette area, where those improvements could move ahead at a much more quicker pace depending on funding. So again, all items for inclusion in the as an appendix to the to the Transportation System Plan TSP, that concept plan, which you should have detailed sheets and more detail visual of in the link that's provided in the agenda, the draft concept plan that would be approved by the Plan Commission and Council and Transportation Advisory Board for inclusion into the Transportation System Plan. Like I said, with that, happy to take any questions. I see Rich has his hand up. Everybody should be able to take themselves off mute, and I'll turn it back over to Kim to direct any Q&A from the board.
Okay, I found the button. I'm on mute, and I gotta change the view here because I can't see everybody at the same time. So if Rich had his hand up, let's start with Rich.
Yeah, first of all, you can hear me, but they can't see me, is that correct?
Yeah, what's up to that?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't understand it myself, but that's okay.
Good looking, Rich. We need your camera.
Well, it's there looking at me. I don't know why it's not projecting. So I just got a couple of questions. So looking at this segment E, and I think, Lance, you probably answered the question I'm going to have here about congestion management. But, you know, currently Willamette Falls Drive is the primary road that people use to make in many cases to get to Oregon City, get over the Oregon City Bridge. And now with this alignment, you've pretty much reduced it to a secondary road, and Sunset becomes a primary, which means that a person trying to get to Oregon City or even to the freeway in this direction now has to make two stops. It looks like there's a stop if you're northbound on Willamette Falls Drive. You have to make a stop at Sunset, turn right, make another stop at A Street before you can then proceed on to your destination. And I guess I'm just wondering, is that really what we want people have to do to make these two stops, significantly slowing down their journey? Or is that the intent? Is that really what we want? I guess that's my question. Anybody?
Maybe I'll take this is Mark, I'll take a first piece at it. There is a little bit of balance here. What we're trying to do is to topographically to get rid of those two skewed intersections that Chestnut and Sunset create right now. That's why we kind of follow the Chestnut alignment up to Sunset, create that T intersection, and then continue down. The intersection of A Street and Sunset, that may or may not be stopped for the through traffic on Sunset. It really depends on the density of development that comes in there. You know, this looks like, oh, there's no additional traffic, but where a lot of those trees are, you can see residential apartments and other things that come in there over time. But until that would meet signal warrants, that would be A Street would be stop control and Sunset would be free flow. So, yeah, your travel time from downtown or Old Town Westland to the Arch Bridge will be a little bit longer. However, with those stops, it should slow the traffic down, address those safety issues with the topography that we mentioned, but also be able to facilitate development in this corridor. So you're trying to balance topography, future development, and then the safety and operations of the corridor. So that's why we came to the solution that you see here.
Okay. And then I have one more question. And that is just, I was just reading segments of draft plan, and I focused on the implementation section. And I noticed on page 47, you talk about that there will be a need for a public vote prior to any final vote of the public, prior to any final final design adoption or implementation, because of code related to development of city parks and open spaces. And so my question is, other than Fields Bridge Park, what other parks or open spaces are there along this corridor that would necessitate a public vote for design and implementation?
Yeah, Rich, it is really Fields Bridge Park that is the driver of that issue. I don't think we've done a real detailed analysis to see. There are some city-owned tracks that are close to or in conjunction with this alignment. I don't know if they have been designated open spaces or not. But definitively, Fields Bridge Park would be impacted with some grading and sloping. So That would be a separate item on a that impact would require a separate vote and be a separate ballot measure. If you recall when we did the if anybody recalls when we did the Highway 43 appendix to the transportation system plan, after that was approved by the council, staff did a detailed inventory and analysis of all city-owned tracks and open spaces along that corridor, and then each one of those individual tracks were listed as a separate item or separate ballot measure that was presented to the voters, and the voters approved all of those impacts along Highway 43. So as Highway 43 moves to construction, those votes have already taken place and have already been approved based on the concept plan that was done in that corridor. So similar would be the impact here, would be really those linear items on any tracks that the city owns along that corridor. Obviously, primarily Fields Bridge Park.
Hey, Ms. Greg, I have a question. I think I'm unmuted. So Lance, you did a couple of meetings, one with the Willamette folks and one with the Neighborhood Association, if I remember seeing their schedule. I assume those were just concept meetings to see what people wanted. They haven't seen the plan yet. They haven't reacted to it. Is that right?
Correct. So this will be the first public presentation of this level of detail to the plan. It would be through this Transportation Advisory Board meeting. You know, in COVID times, it's really hard to, you know, have a lot of public engagement other than through this digital means and media. So our goal is to go through this meeting and process, continue to work with this group, continue to work with the Planning Commission and City Council. But we've also been tasked with moving things along as we can't just sort of wait forever. So it is it's a tough balance versus maybe our traditional outreach efforts.
I would note last August, members from those two areas were at the public meeting where they saw a lot of the elements of this, so that they've seen some of it, but like Lance said, the formal piece of it, there hasn't been direct outreach on that.
I have another question, if I could. Have you analyzed what the level of service is on the, whatever the five segments are?
Yes, in the appendix of the plan, there's a complete traffic analysis, and just the long and the short of it, this provides us capacity that's within the targets of the city through 2040. So yeah, we have adequate capacity. The roundabouts have been sized accordingly, so they're multi-lane roundabouts that you see just off Arch Bridge, as well as going to and from 205. So we've added additional capacity in that segment. And really between there and 10th Street, there's not a lot of capacity. It's, you know, more throughput, but the intersection of Sunset and Willamette Falls and then A both have adequate capacity for the next 20 years in that segment.
I did want to ask, unless, and I didn't see any other hands up, two things, is particularly on this, on the section that's on the segment E. We had talked about it before with the roundabouts in the proximity to each other. And I know, you know, this version has them a lot further spread apart. When I looked at the plans, I thought I saw something in there that said that the one that's over by 7th Street, where Sunset and 7th come together, would not be done until the one closer to the freeway was done. Is that correct?
Yeah, great Great comment. Until the existing intersection and signal is removed and that roundabout put in, you never want to team a roundabout up with a signal that are in that close of proximity. So that's the reason for the timing. So if this reroute was to be done before 205 is done, we would come out to a signalized intersection, and then when the roundabout at the on-ramp is installed, a roundabout would be installed as you see on the screen. So that's the reason for that comment and statement.
Okay, and then on the traffic loads, because we have a lot of variables coming up. I mean, we have current traffic. Tolling was not part of the equation when we did the TSP in 2016. And then there's the large development, not just the waterfront master plan for Westland, but on the Oregon City side. And that's that. So was the Oregon City side taken into consideration as well in the volumes here?
Yeah, very, very good question. So the analysis that was done for this took into account the existing zoning and the projected growth. It has not taken into account tolling directly because the tolling strategy isn't fully flushed out. So without that being flushed out, we can't really guess on that piece. The piece on the Oregon City side, generally the growth and increased traffic from the regional growth and the zoning, that's generally accounted for in this analysis. And the third piece, the Belgravia property, which is on the West Lynn side, there is a specific implementation depending on the density. If they come in for zoning changes and stuff like that, there will need to be a traffic impact study done to see how the system would work with something kind of up and above the normal assumptions that we were made on that. So that is a requirement of development on at least on the West Lynn side of the river, is to account for that. And then I think when the 205 strategies figured out, I think that West Lynn and a lot of cities along the corridor are going to have those same questions. What are those? The 205 work that ODOT is doing has some of that. And at the point the city gets that, I'm assuming Lance will take a look at that and maybe have us opine on that as well, and then potentially do separate analysis on that. So hopefully that helps.
Yeah, okay, so just so if I'm hearing you right, then this is based on what the TSP was, exclusive of tolling, so tolling's not part of the equation. It takes into consideration some or the best guess of the growth on the Oregon City side.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions?
Looks like I see Anthony and Darren both have their hand up.
Oh, I thought he was scratching his face. I'm sorry, Anthony.
So just kind of real quick. So it looks like this roundabout that would be at the bottom of 7th. The service station that's currently there, does that go away in the construction plan, or do we accommodate an entrance and exit for them?
No, the service station would be gone under this proposed improvement. We have outreach to them. They are aware of that. And obviously there would be a process to follow that would address that kind of a taking.
Okay. And then would you expect or anticipate increased traffic on Sunset Avenue because of this plan, either because there's, you know, more access and now that Chestnut is not there and this is the main thoroughfare, would you anticipate more traffic going up the hill this direction, or would you kind of expect the same flow?
Generally, and this is, I'm assuming up the hill across 205 is what you're referring to.
Correct.
Will basically stay the same. If you think about how people come off of 205, come from Oregon City, the ability to access Sunset doesn't really change. You could say, well, now the road goes straight there instead of veering off onto Sunset. But the real drivers are the land use along Willamette Drive, the downtown area, and then the interchange itself. The land use, you know, up on Sunset Avenue, we're really not changing anything on the north side of the freeway. So there's not anything that would attract more traffic than it already does today. In the general, outside of just, you know, just regional growth on a general standpoint. So negligible impacts up on the north side of the freeway.
Yeah, I would also mention that the city does have included in our current bond funds improvements scheduled for bikes and pedestrians, in particular on Sunset north of I-205 up to Cornwall. That project has not started yet, largely as we focus right now on the Main Street Willamette Falls Drive portion of the bond transportation project list. After Willamette Falls Drive, we'll be focusing on planned improvements recently discussed at the last council meeting for the 10th Street interchange and Salamo Road, and then the Sunset north of I-205 outside of this picture would be following those 10th Street improvements. So still more to come in all those corridors. I think Darren still got his hand up. He's been patiently waiting, I think.
I just don't know how to. I didn't turn the hand on, and I don't know how to turn it off.
You found the unmute button, so you're way ahead of the game.
Yeah. I have no idea how that hand got raised.
Yeah, there should. There should be something, I think, in your lower corner or something that would indicate a hand up or hand down.
I think it's something next to your name, because I see a hand next to my name where you can click on it under participants where it says raise hand.
There he figured we're technical masters here.
Woo! I see it just turned from blue to white. That was all. From my perspective.
All right.
Okay. So, any other questions about this presentation? I don't see Hayden.
Do we have to make a recommendation, Tim? Tim, are we supposed? This is Greg. Are we supposed to make a recommendation?
At this point, we just had it listed as a presentation, I think we're still looking for input. Our next meeting, I don't believe, is scheduled until November, but which would be before the council planned adoption. So I was hoping to have a recommendation of approval at the next meeting before going to council, and also getting any input from the Plan Commission and being able to share that with the group. So my goal would be some sort of recommendation at the next meeting.
That would be ideal. So Lance, what do we need to do to move that forward? Is this on Darren?
Darren and city staff will be working through the Plan Commission process along with our consultant team. And then, like I said, my goal is to hopefully have this back for the TAB in November for a recommendation. And then it'll be going back to council hopefully in December. Of course, it's all subject to change. Hopefully we don't have any more wildfires or major natural disasters occurring between now and then. So I'll knock on wood, but that's our optimum target at this point.
Okay. Well, Mark and Nicholas, thank you very much for the presentation, and I look forward to however we can safely get public input on this to keep it moving, because the sooner we can get this adopted with all of our delays with all the things of 2020, the sooner we can get grant funding for things that are in the TSP.
Right. Well, appreciate it. Have a great evening.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay, so moving on to 2B, Go Bond project update.
Right, so I'm looking at our time, and we are moving a little slower in this digital format than what we would normally, I think, do in our normal meetings. So I'm going to try and hustle along here. Of course, all of our geo bond projects are on the city's website, transportation projects. We are moving forward in a number of those, as mentioned on the website. Happy to answer any questions that the TAB members may have on those projects. The one thing I would say, there's been a lot of chatter about the back-in angle parking concepts that the City Council has pushed forward for Willamette Falls Drive. The staff is continuing to try and respond to those. I would say that the marking that you see out there now, we're still working with the contractor, still temp. We're still trying to, you know, get the signage all temporarily in. We're still trying to get paving done. The COVID has seriously impacted our schedule. The fires impacted our schedule. PGE is sort of pulled out of the project and to deal with fire emergencies, and hopefully we'll be back soon to do their parts. We are planning on paving the cycle track next week. So it is moving forward. Everything is going, but oftentimes, I know me personally, I feel like sometimes we're just, you know, in quicksand and trying to pull ourselves out of it quite often on that construction project. I also would mention we did just have, you guys can review the council meeting for the last work session with the council on the 10th Street project, all the videos available for what's planned and upcoming for that corridor available as well. Like I said, I'd be happy to answer any questions on GeoBond if anybody has any questions of staff.
Kim, I have one. This is Greg. So Lance, have you found a financial impact to COVID to the construction project on the Willamette Falls Drive?
You know, to the hard capital or the bid costs of the project, there hasn't been any significant expenditures relative to COVID. I mean, certainly we've had some change orders on the project outside of the COVID issues. The contractors really had to absorb those costs. I think the real impact has been in some of the delays and challenges fiscally. I think both COVID, both fires, both construction, all, you know, having impacts to the businesses down there. The city has worked to try and assist businesses impacted by all of that through a number of both direct means through our own local grant opportunities to businesses, as well as through assistance through the federal, county, and state process, through the CARES Act funding and those kinds of things. So, you know, and we are working. I think the wider sidewalks have been great for the business, in particular the restaurants down there, to be able to at least stay operational, which is a good thing, and council has continued to direct staff to assist those restaurants and businesses in any way we can throughout the construction.
All right, I'm mute. Anyone else on the GoBond questions? Okay, moving on to number four, capital projects update.
Outside of the GoBond projects, I would note I am hoping or planning our next meeting to bring forward our results of our pavement management report. We'll be bringing that forward to council as well. Actually, I think that might be in front of the council before it comes to the TAB, which is a little reversed, but because of COVID and everything, everything's sort of out of sync right now, but I wanted to at least get that to the TAB as well with a presentation from our consultant on that, so expect that at the next meeting. We are actively pursuing a number of other capital projects outside of the GO Bond work, including currently one thing I did mention, some of the Safe Routes to School, which is partially GO Bond, partially our local funds, as well as SDC funds. Also doing some design work for the upcoming year for some road and utility improvements. One of the big constraints on our street improvements, particularly on those streets that are in really poor shape, is our lack of water funding for capital improvements. So there's been some streets where we're targeting right now to do some water main replacements so that we can do the road improvements and the road work and the road maintenance. Unfortunately, some of our, particularly on the north end of town, some of our water system is pretty poor and adequate to serve water, but when we start doing work on the road work would actually break the water line. So we have to do the water work before we can do the road work. So, and our water rates are the lowest in the Portland metro area and continue to be so. And so we are trying to balance that effort out and sequence those improvements. So if you get somebody saying, hey, why isn't my road done? Odds are it's probably because there's a water line that needs to be done in conjunction with that road work. So always something that we'll be working on and bringing forward. I can bring more input on that as those projects come to fruition this winter with planned construction in the next summer.
I can say that that's something that the Utility Advisory Board was our main focus for this year was trying to revisit water rates to increase revenue for projects like that. So whenever we get back to that group and we get to meet, maybe we can start working on that again.
That's all I got for updates.
Well, I usually really like talking about capital projects.
Trying to respect everybody's time here at this meeting. So.
Okay. Does anyone have any announcements or anything? We haven't met since January. Is there anything anyone would like to discuss transportation related between now and when is it, November, that we're meeting again? Or announcements or?
Yeah, I got one. So we were notified, and Lance, you sent it to us as well, and I get the Metro packet, that ODOT's, seeking input on turning over 43 to the local jurisdictions. And I haven't taken the survey as an individual, and I don't know if the TAB wants to weigh in on it. And the one question that I would have of you is, what's a staff perspective on that? And if you took it over, would it bankrupt our little transportation fund trying to maintain that road going through West Lynn? Considering it goes all the way from Portland all the way to Oregon City.
Right. So I think what Greg's referencing is Metro, and I think ODOT may be studying it as well. But Metro in particular is producing a study in coordination with ODOT on potential local jurisdictional transfer routes. And obviously, this section of Highway 43 is one of those that they're looking at. Other corridors that they're looking at for local jurisdictional transfer include things like Powell Boulevard, 82nd Street, all these sort of arterial streets that ODOT maintains in the metro area. I think the study's intent is really to capture all the different locations and potential and then sort of end it there. There's nothing that says that any jurisdictional transfer would occur. Any jurisdictional transfer would require both outside of state legislative action, would require intergovernmental agreement between both the local jurisdiction and the state. So there's a lot of hoops that would have to go through for the city to take over sort of ownership of Highway 43. You know, the city already has an intergovernmental agreement with ODOT on some maintenance aspects of 43. As we move forward with the grant-funded improvements to 43 with Hidden Springs Road and Cedar Oak in that area, that are actually ongoing. Actually, ODOT just restarted that design effort here just recently. That had been on hold for some time due to a number of factors. But I think it also sort of signals that, you know, the Metro also has a pending ballot measure on the November ballot called Get Moving 2020, I believe is what they're calling that. And that really is about funding the light rail improvements along I-5 corridor out to Tualatin and Tigard. But it's also funding an earmarked, I want to say close to $1 billion in funds for road improvements, particularly on the arterial network. And part of our effort in that funding package was to get Highway 43 included, which it was. Largely, I believe, and I credit our Metro representative that represents this area. She was able to help, I think, as well as staff and our own local officials to get that funding in place for Highway 43. So if the Metro bond package passes in November, there would be $55 million earmarked towards improvements to Highway 43, at which point we would be able to potentially work on some type of jurisdictional transfer agreement with ODOT, assuming those improvements were able to be completed before taking ownership. So not, you know, bankrupting or fiscally putting ourselves in a bind in that kind of process. So all future stuff that might occur, of course, if it doesn't pass voter approval, then you know, that's sort of all on hold until some other funding source is identified. So more to come on that topic, I guess.
Thank you. I had concerns when we brought this up before, because like you said, Greg, this is Highway 43 is through traffic. You know, it's one thing, you know, to get funding for it, but to maintain a road it's still a highway. That would be a big thing to Westland. But it sounds like that's going to take a lot more action before it even gets to that point in a vote. Is that correct, Lance?
A lot more action, a lot more vote on the bond. Obviously, in November, a lot of back and forth between elected officials, both locally and as well as the state level. There's even additional work on the planning staff effort on potential rezoning along the 43 corridor, assumably. Improvements there would allow for potentially different uses or improvements to that corridor as well on the land use side. So, yeah, if that bond passes and if $55 million is earmarked to this corridor, you'd see this being an ongoing topic of discussion for probably the next several years.
Good to have you back, Rich. Do we Do you have any more questions?
I lost you guys for quite some time. I don't even know where we are on the agenda, frankly. But do you see me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. You lucky chugs. Okay, so are we on number five?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to bring up something that I think Greg raised this at the last meeting or several meetings ago, and has perked my interest, or at least I'm noticing it more, and that was about the condition of our streets. And his question, I think, was about the street maintenance program, and I have noticed there are a lot of streets in this city that are breaking up. It looks like they're in pretty bad shape. And so I guess, Lance, I don't know if that's something that we can take up at a future meeting, but I really would like to get a handle on really where we're going with that, because it looks like, from my perspective, if we don't start doing some maintenance, we're going to have some serious road problems in this city.
Yeah, Rich, you might have been blanked out from the meeting just a little bit earlier, where we mentioned that at our next agenda, our November meeting, we plan to have our consultant and the pavement maintenance report and everything on the upcoming agenda.
Okay, great. I didn't hear that. I was lost in space somewhere.
That's technology.
Gosh, yeah, this is bad. This has been bad, a bad experience for me.
Okay, so if no one else has any board discussion announcements, are we aware of anybody being online for public comments?
No public comment that we're aware of.
Okay, well, it is 7:11, so would anyone like to make a move to adjourn?
I would move that to adjourn.
Hey, do we have a second?
I will second.
Okay, all in favor of adjourning our meeting tonight?
Aye.
Aye? Thumbs up?
Aye.
Okay. So, meeting adjourned at 7:11 p.m.
Thank you very much.
Meeting in November, is that not in October?
No.
Is that prior?
Yes, November 10th is our next scheduled meeting. It's on the agenda, and we will continue to hopefully revise and improve our virtual meeting notification and process here as we move forward. And maybe, if we're lucky, maybe November it's an in-person meeting.
Maybe. Maybe.
Okay.
Till next time, everybody.
Till next time.
Bye.